Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 119. We read the 7th and 8th sections, Psalm 119, verse 49 through verse 64. Our text is the 57th verse that encapsulates the thought of that whole 8th section. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought up on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is that 57th verse. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is good in the midst of our pilgrimage that we have a proper perspective on all of life. And there's different illustrations that we could use, but imagine a child in the midst of this world, maybe someone 4 or 5 years old, trying to make it through life completely on their own. You would say that's impossible. If you saw that child going about his business in the home, what gives him comfort and a certain perspective on all of his life is that he knows he is under the care of his parents, and that they will take care of him. God, of course, providing for the family, but that child has a certain perspective. When he's going to cross a road, a busy road, he knows he's not crossing by himself, but his father holds his hand. That gives a completely different perspective on the whole of his life. And so it is, beloved, in our own pilgrimage. We need a proper perspective as we go through this valley of tears. We don't live, we ought not live life with our eyes only on the horizontal, that is, only looking at the things of this world and our circumstances that surround us, but we live and ought to live our lives with a vertical perspective, that is, knowing that Jehovah is our portion and living our lives with that as our perspective. I asked my children as I prepared this sermon what they thought about Psalm 119, and one of them said, well, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and you might get the impression when somebody says it's the longest chapter that reading it would be a great burden. Another suggested that Psalm 119 is known for its many different uses of words that refer to the law of God. And you might get the impression from that Psalm 119 is all a big, long lecture about God's law. But it's not a burdensome chapter. It's not a burdensome psalm. When you read it with this perspective, Psalm 119 is the psalmist's personal prayer to God as he makes his pilgrimage through this world. We have the privilege, when we go through this psalm, of listening in to the psalmist's prayer. That inspired prayer that shows how it is he goes through his pilgrimage. One of the things that comes out in Psalm 119, if you read through the psalm, is how many times he mentions affliction in life. Almost every section has some mention of his affliction. Well, how does he face that affliction? The psalmist in this section faces it with that truth. Jehovah is my portion. So we get to listen to his personal prayer as he interacts with affliction, as he interacts with his own weaknesses. He does so with this perspective. Jehovah is my portion. Let's consider the section under that, or that text under that theme. Jehovah, my portion. Let's note, firstly, the meaning of that. Secondly, the commitment of the psalmist that flows out of that reality. And lastly, the prayer that the psalmist makes that also flows out of the reality that Jehovah is his portion. That's the starting point, beloved, of our pilgrimage. It ought to be. Our thankful pilgrimage is made with the knowledge that Jehovah is our portion. That's on the forefront of the psalmist's mind in this section. It's in the Hebrew, you understand each section of the psalm begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, so that all the verses in each particular section begin with that particular letter. Well, the very first word of the first verse of this section is the word in Hebrew for portion. Literally, we could translate portion, mine, Jehovah. A portion is that which has been allotted to us. And often that word portion in the Hebrew speaks of the inheritance. So you find inheritance and portion often mentioned next to each other. A portion is that for the Israelite that was the most precious possession that they could have. If there was something that they could hold on to and they had to give up everything else in life, they would hold on to their portion. That would be the one thing they would choose not to give up if they had to give up everything else in life. What is your portion, beloved? What is my portion in life? What is your greatest and most precious possession? What is it that you would refuse to give up if you had to give up everything else, including your own life? What would you hold on to? What is most precious? Well, the wicked have their things that they would count most precious. The possessions of this world, those idols that they set up for themselves, that may be the riches of this world, it may be the pursuit of fame and power, it may be their pursuit of the pleasures and treasures of this world, eating and drinking and making merry. But they will not have Jehovah as their portion. Indeed, they would see Jehovah as standing in the way of what they count to be their portion. They want nothing to do with Jehovah as their portion. By God's grace, beloved, Jehovah has made Himself to be our portion. He has done that through His electing love in eternity. He has done that, made Himself our portion by sending His only begotten Son to redeem us through His sacrifice on the cross. He has made Himself our portion through the work of His Spirit in our hearts, regenerating us and giving us the life of Christ. That Jehovah is our portion is God's doing. And that's why the psalmist in this section proclaims, at the very end of the section, he says, "The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy." He says the earth is full of God's mercy because God, in His goodness, has looked upon us in our misery and taken us out of that misery and given to us the greatest good. He has made Himself our portion. Jehovah. That's the term that the psalmist uses to refer to God when he says, Thou art my portion, O Lord, in all capitals. Thou art my portion, O Jehovah, Thou who art the great I am. Thou who art absolutely dependent from the creature. Thou art my portion. Thou who art the Creator of the heavens and the earth, Thou who art the faithful covenant God who never changes, who keeps Thy promise, Thou who dost keep mercy for thousands of generations of those who love Thee. The psalmist sees that this great God is His portion. And God gives us to see that as well. God takes us into covenant fellowship with Himself. That's the idea of the psalmist when he proclaims those glorious words, Thou art my portion, O Lord. Not just a portion, but my portion. God has taken us personally into covenant fellowship with Himself. Now it's true that we are still plagued by the old man of sin. It's true that we are still drawn after the same idols that the world is drawn to, and that we have only a small beginning of that new life. But the truth still remains, beloved, Jehovah. Just as the psalmist confesses, you and I confess, Jehovah is my portion. He above all things is most precious to me. And when we examine our thoughts, is He the most precious? Yes, we wander, but He gives us to know that yes, He is above all things most precious. That truth, beloved, colors every square inch of our lives. That Jehovah is our portion, in other words, is going to be visible. It's going to manifest itself in your life and my life. We said that the psalmist in Psalm 119 mentions over and over the afflictions that he experiences. Well, when this truth is in our hearts, that will affect how you and I deal with affliction. And is it not the case that when God in His providence brings affliction to our lives, He uses that very affliction to take our eyes off of the things of this world, to see how our happiness is not found in the things of this world, but our ultimate happiness is in Jehovah. When God puts us in affliction on our backs in sickness, He causes us in that very circumstance to look up, to see This world is not our home. Jehovah is my portion. Affliction is one of those circumstances that we come to see more and more Jehovah as our portion. That colors how we interact with affliction. And you can see that with the psalmist throughout Psalm 119. Another way that that colors our lives, the fact that Jehovah is our portion, is found in the companions that we choose for ourselves. Who is it with whom we have fellowship? And the psalmist says in verse 63 in this section, flowing out of the truth of our text, he says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I am closely united. I am bound together with all those who fear thee. All those, O Lord, who hold thee in reverence and who stand in awe of who thou art and all that thou hast done. Well, that makes sense. When we know that Jehovah is our chief delight, we want to be with others. Others who also hold Jehovah as their chief delight. We want to worship together with God's people. That's why we are here this morning. To worship with God's people who have also Jehovah as their portion. What a wonderful thing to have that companionship in the church with others who say, yes, Jehovah is my portion. What a wonderful thing that we can encourage one another in our most precious faith, singing praises together about Jehovah, who is our portion. What a wonderful thing that we express that companionship in our marriages. We have spouses who also count Jehovah as their portion, who are heirs together of the grace of life. And young people that are looking forward to marriage, if Jehovah is your portion, and He is by God's grace, who would want to be with anyone who did not have Jehovah as their portion? If Jehovah is our chief delight, who in their right mind would want to be married to another who did not have Jehovah as their chief delight? But that same truth applies to our friendships in this life. Not just marriage, but then all the friendships that we have. We want to be with those who also know Jehovah to be their portion. That truth, that Jehovah is our portion, is going to color all of our relationships. On the other hand, when Jehovah is our portion, that sets up the antithesis with those who do not have Jehovah as their portion. You and I, by God's grace, say, oh, how love I thy law, because Jehovah is my portion. Well, then we don't want to be with those who say, oh, how hate I that law of Jehovah. Oh, how hate I thy that law that tells me I cannot do what I want to do, that condemns me in my sin. The wicked want nothing to do with Jehovah. In fact, the psalmist, later on in the Psalms, verse 115, he says about the wicked, "Depart from me." You see, he wants nothing to do with having these wicked as his companions. He says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." As if to say, Jehovah is above all things most precious to me. I don't want to spend my time in fellowship with the wicked. Does that show itself, beloved, that Jehovah is our portion? Does that show itself in the music that I listen to? Does that show itself in the television programs that I watch, inviting them into my living room, as it were? You see, Jehovah being our portion is going to color every square inch of our lives. You see that especially in the commitment of the psalmist to keep God's law. When he proclaims in our text, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," in the very same breath, he expresses his commitment to keep God's laws and to keep God's words. "I have said, I would keep thy words." Children, you know what it means to keep? A shepherd keeps his sheep. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. A shepherd, as he keeps his sheep, has great regard for his sheep and all the needs of his sheep. He watches over them carefully. Now the psalmist says, "I will keep. I have said, I will keep thy words." The psalmist is making a promise. "I have said it. I have promised. I will have great regard for thy words." And notice the psalmist uses the plural, not just thy word, but thy words. Everything that God has proclaimed in the Scriptures. Well, what is the main theme of the whole of the Scriptures? God's promised salvation in Jesus Christ. God's word then of salvation. That in the first place. When the psalmist says, "I have said I will keep thy words," he wants to have great regard for God's word that proclaims salvation in Jesus Christ. That word already which began to be uttered in the garden with that mother promise and going through the whole of Scripture. The psalmist wants to keep those words, to hold them dear, to have great regard for those words that express God's love to us, His people. He wants to hold those words, to remember those words, to rejoice in those words of God's love to us. That word of promise, but He also would have great regard for the Word of God that gives us a rule of our love to God. Yes, He wants to have great regard for God's love to us, that word. But now in thankfulness, He says, I want to have great regard also to Thy law. That word that directs me how to show my thankfulness. How to show my love to such a glorious God. And that law is not burdensome. When you read through Psalm 119, you don't find the psalmist saying, oh, how great a burden is Thy law. He doesn't say that. He says, I delight in Thy law. Verse 77, for example, let Thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for Thy law is my delight. That would be an interesting exercise to go through the whole of the psalm. And there are many other references that show the psalmist's attitude of delight in God's law. And when we have that delight in God's word of love towards us, and when we have a delight to show our love to God, that will show itself in our life of repentance. When we consider God's great love to us, we don't want to walk in sin. We want to be turning away from our sin. So we find that verse 59 of this section. He says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies. He thought, he gave careful attention to the way he was walking. I thought on my ways. I looked at them in light of the truth that Jehovah is my portion. And when I thought on them, I saw my sins. That's the idea. Because when he thought on his ways and sees that he is wandering away from God, then he turns his feet again to God's testimonies. Why would you and I ever want to do that, beloved? To think on our ways and to see where we are wandering from God and then to turn back again to God? We would never want to do that by nature. We would never sorrow over sin as it is sin against God unless Jehovah had made Himself to be our portion. That's why the psalmist thinks on his ways. That's why he sorrows over sin as it is sin against God. When Jehovah is our portion, we will think on our ways and turn away from sin. Indeed, the more it is that Jehovah is our chief delight, the more it is that we love Jehovah, the more immediate will be our obedience. We will not hesitate. And that's what the psalmist proclaims. In verse 60 of this section, he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Why was it that he made haste? Why did he want to obey quickly? Because he saw that Jehovah was his portion. We have that in our own families, children. If your parents ask you to do something, wash the dishes, and then you wait and you wait and you wait, and pretty soon it's time to go to bed and the dishes still are not done. Well, that shows a certain lack of love towards your parents. Love is expressed in immediate obedience, quickly doing what you are told with a happy and submissive spirit. Well, so it is with our God. When we see Jehovah as our portion, the more we have Jehovah as our delight, the more we say, I want to do what He commands me immediately. I don't want to hesitate. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. And it will show itself, that commitment to walk in God's ways will show itself in our steadfastness. When the devil comes and tempts us, we will say, I don't want to walk in those ways of disobedience. I want to put up a hedge around me to keep temptation from even coming my way. I want to be steadfast. So the psalmist says in verse 61, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. There's the affliction mentioned in this section of the psalm. The bands of the wicked. He's not saying that the bands of the wicked came and stole my money. But he's saying those bands of the wicked have surrounded me and would steal my faith away if they could. And what does the psalmist say when he sees these bands of wicked, the world coming against him and tempting him to draw him away? He proclaims that he wants to remain steadfast. Bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. I have determined to keep thy law in my mind. I want to show my love to Jehovah, who is my portion. Even when the wicked sought to snare him, even when the devil put thoughts in his mind and his own flesh wanted to go that way, he remained steadfast. Does that truth, beloved, show itself that Jehovah is your portion? Does that show itself in your commitment to keep God's words, His word of promise, and His word that expresses our rule of thankfulness? Does it show itself in our sincere repentance and obedience to God? The truth that Jehovah is our portion will show itself in our commitment to keep God's words, but also in the prayers that we utter. The whole of Psalm 119 is a prayer uttered by the psalmist, who knows that Jehovah is his portion. And that makes sense. The fact that we pray to Jehovah is a manifestation that He is our portion. And what we pray to Jehovah. You've probably heard that acronym before, ACTS, A-C-T-S, that stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. All of those aspects will be manifest in our prayers when Jehovah is our portion. So we find the psalmist throughout the psalm giving words, expressing words of adoration, praise to God. And there's another interesting exercise to go through the psalm and find how many times the psalmist praises God in this prayer. Time and time again, the very beginning of this section, Thou art my portion, O Lord. Those are words of praise for what God has done. Or we could go through the rest of the psalm. Verse 7, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. Verse 12, Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Verse 55, I have remembered Thy name, O Lord. Or verse 68, Thou art good and doest good. And over, words of praise will flow from the lips of those who have Jehovah as our portion. Adoration, but also confession. And you find that throughout the psalm, the psalmist confesses his neediness, he confesses his weakness, he confesses that he needs Jehovah. When Jehovah is our portion, that will be expressed in our prayers. He sees, and we will see, our sinfulness. We mentioned that verse earlier. Verse 59 alludes to that sinfulness. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies. I see my sins. I see that I have wandered. But other parts of the psalm as well. Verse 9. He says, Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He's expressing his sinfulness and his neediness. I want to cleanse my way. I am needy and I am sinful. Also, the very last verse of the psalm, he says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Sheep are needy creatures. Needy in themselves, but then the psalmist adds to that, I have gone astray. So in our prayers, not only adoration, but we will also make confession to God of our sins and our neediness. Adoration, confession. Then thirdly, thanksgiving. Notice the words of the psalmist in verse 62. All this flowing out of the truth that Jehovah is his portion, he says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. He sees the righteous judgments of God, and he knows that through those righteous governing acts of God, that God brings salvation even through those judgments. Therefore, he says, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. At midnight. Why does he rise up at midnight? Well, he's not rising up at midnight because he wants everybody else to see him praying. His prayer to Jehovah expresses a personal relationship that he has, and it shows the sincerity of his prayer. Nobody else is watching, but he rises to give thanks to Jehovah. And maybe it is the case as well. At midnight, he's turning over in his mind the thoughts of Jehovah's goodness to him. And he doesn't just roll over and go back to sleep, but he rises to give thanks to Jehovah. The greatness of his thoughts towards Jehovah cannot be ignored. When Jehovah is our chief delight, we will express that in our prayers of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Over and over throughout the psalmist makes supplication. He asks God. He asks God for everything he needs for his body and his soul. He asks God to quicken him. He asks God in this section, in particular, for grace and mercy. You see, the psalmist understands that Jehovah being his portion, it's not the case that Jehovah simply saves us at the beginning of our pilgrimage and then says, okay, now the rest of the way you're going to make it in your own strength, as if we need grace and mercy only at the beginning. Not at all. Knowing that Jehovah is his portion, he looks to Jehovah the whole way of his pilgrimage for grace and for mercy. Notice verse 58. He says, I entreated thy favor. That would be another word for grace. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I need thy grace in the whole of my pilgrimage. And that's the case. When we have Jehovah as our portion, we will ask him daily for grace and for mercy. Asking him to take us out of that greatest of woes, to deliver us from sin, and to give us the greatest good. Notice, beloved, the psalmist doesn't say, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart, be merciful unto me because I'm pretty good. The psalmist doesn't see anything in himself that merits that grace and mercy of God, but he sees that it is only in God to give it. So he says, according to thy word. God's grace and mercy towards us come to us according to his word of promise, which promise is yea and amen in Jesus Christ. So we ask, give that grace and mercy for Christ's sake. because I don't deserve it in myself. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. All of those things the psalmist includes in his prayer to Jehovah. All of those things he prays to Jehovah with a commitment to remember God's words, exactly because Jehovah has made him to know that Jehovah is his portion. Just as God makes you and me to know that Jehovah is our portion. He gives us to believe it and to confess it. Jehovah is my portion. In every circumstance, He gives us more and more to see this glorious truth. May that be our confession, beloved, today and every day of our lives. Jehovah is my portion. Amen. Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee that Thou hast made Thyself to be our portion. May we learn more and more that Thou alone art able to satisfy all of our needs. Cause us to see that Thou art our chief delight, and may that show itself in our lives and in our prayers. Forgive us where we have fallen short, and lead and guide us by Thy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.